Hi, Lioness members. It's Natasha from lionessmagazine.com, and we're really excited because this month on your business coaching call, we have Allison Maslin, who is the CEO of Allison Maslin International. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you. We have actually featured Allison on lionessmagazine.com in the past, so today I will make sure that I go into our Facebook group and post some of those previous articles so that you can learn a little bit more about her. But Allison is one of the female entrepreneurs in the world who is totally rocking it. Recently, she was named one of the top women entrepreneurs who inspire by Self Made Magazine. She is the number one best-selling author of the book Blast Off, the Surefire Success Plan to Launch Your Dreams into Reality. She's built more than 10 successful companies, as well as doing that while being a single mother. And her clients include Ben & Jerry's, Supercuts, Allstate, and more. So, Allison, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to give some great guidance to your listeners and your readers.
So, Allison today is going to be talking to us about building a powerful startup team. She is a business coach. She's been doing it for years. And so first, Allison, I just want to start off asking you to tell our readers just a little bit about your company and the work that you're doing with entrepreneurs.
Sure, I would be happy to. Just a little background about me. I have actually never held a job. I couldn't keep a job for more than 2 weeks, and so I started as an entrepreneur when I was 19, and so that was almost three decades ago, and so I've been building businesses ever since, and I've built 10 companies over the years, and people started saying to me, you know, how do you do this, Allison? Can you teach me? And so I never intended to get into the business coaching world. It kind of found me. And I feel like I get to pay it forward now. Like, this is my best work because I get to share my wisdom and my experience to help others create amazing businesses. And I lead a private coaching and mastermind. And we work with business owners all over the world. And I have a team of coaches. And we help them do just that, to build a fruitful, prosperous, profitable business that gives them a wonderful life.
So launching more than 10 companies, like you said, you're used to building teams, right? It's funny because this was a topic that came up in our Facebook group for women. And so one of the things that we have learned was sometimes businesses end up failing because they hire too soon, right? And the cash flow isn't there. How do you know when is the proper time to start building your team?
Well, it's actually sooner than later. And, you know, they've done studies that companies that hire within the first 6 months, even if it's just an assistant, will get you to seven figures a lot faster than someone that is trying to do everything themselves. In fact, it's probably one of the biggest mistakes business owners make. Because even though you might be thinking, well, that sounds great, Allison, I can't do that until I get the money to be able to pay them. But if you can scrounge enough just to be able to pay them for a month or two, you will see that if you've hired correctly, that your business will grow much faster, because it's going to get you out of the weeds and be able to get free you up so that you can get out there and bring in new business.
So when a person, you're a solopreneur, you're feeling overwhelmed with the work that you have, how do you decide what position you need to hire for first?
Well, one thing that I do is what we do is we help our clients divide up your workload into three tiers. So the first tier is all of the things that it's like busy work, but it's definitely not something that excites you. You know, I mean, it could be running errands. It could be putting things into your, you know, names into your database. It could be filing stuff like that, or just anything that, you know, you're not, it's not the reason you necessarily got into business, right? So I call that your level one. Your level two are tasks that are important as far as, you know, they really help the business grow. And you don't dislike it, but again, it's not like where you really shine. And then level three are all the things that you absolutely love in your business. The reason you got into business in the first place, it excites you, and people come to you and say, you know what, you light up when you do that. And so if you could write down everything you do in a week's time, all of the tasks, you know, how you spend your time, it's a little tedious, but it's a very powerful exercise. And then divide it up into those three categories, and anything in level one you absolutely need to delegate or delete altogether. But, you know, you shouldn't be doing those. And then the next thing to start delegating once you get one taken care of are the things in level two. And so, you know, you're always thinking when you get into work, you know, what are the things that are keeping me from working on the tasks that are growing this business? Mm. And those are the things that you need to be focused on getting off your plate on a regular basis.
That makes so much sense. So when you were just talking about, you know, starting at level one, getting rid of or delegating that busy work, are there certain
Yes.
skills or things that we should look out for when we're going to hire someone?
Well, the first thing is you need to be, so if you determine that there's three things that are taking up a lot of your time, mm-hmm. and they're keeping you from getting out and building relationships or building your brand, right, that's where your focus needs to be, you would then write down all the skills that are necessary for those tasks. And a lot of times what we try to do, especially early on, is try to hire someone that's the jack of all trades.
Right.
And get one person that's like super, you know, human that doesn't really exist. And then we get frustrated when that person cannot perform up to our expectations. And so you just want to get very clear on the things that you need done. What are the skills or experience and attitude required, and then, you know, hire, then place an ad based on that.
Mm.
And generally in the beginning, it's going to be, you know, you're going to need an assistant that can do, like, project management that is basically going to have your back. And I prefer to bring people in-house, but, you know, I've also hired people virtually as well. That's another option for those that are just getting started.
Talking a little bit about, so you find a person who has the skill set, who can kind of begin to come in and help you with some of that busy work. Maybe they're coming in as an assistant, like you said. Could you talk to us a little bit about actually building a cohesive team in terms of working together? I took a leadership program at Pointer, and one of the things that they pointed out to us there that really kind of helped shape my thinking was, you know, that management and leadership are two different things. And so leadership, I feel for me, is something that comes naturally, but management is a skill set that I need to obtain and something that I actively work at each day. What are your thoughts about learning how to manage a staff?
Yes, and I think that, you know, for a lot of business owners, they come up against that challenge because you got into the business because you have an idea or you're passionate about something. It may not be necessarily that you're a good leader or manager. And I know for me, I remember the moment where I saw my team, like from my office, you know, window, they're running around, but I really had no idea what they were working on. They had no idea what I was doing. And
right.
I thought, wow, I need to like get a grip here. Right. And so everything that's happening in your company is reflecting off the energy that you're putting out there. So you have to start with you. and, you know, get clear on the kind of energy and culture and vision that you want to put out there. And your team, you know, everybody has different personalities. They communicate differently. They process information differently. So as a leader, it's important, especially in a small team, to get to know everybody's style. You know, like I have one guy on my team. I could yell at him from my office, you know, hey, I need this. But, you know, if I did that to a couple of the other people, they might take offense to it, where they want to sit with me face to face, me looking at, in the eye, or someone else prefers it written down in an email. So it's, you know, the more that you can take care of your team, be kind, show an interest in them as, you know, as people. You know, we're so busy in our roles. We come in and we have this huge to-do list, and you just jump in and start working. If you could just take a few moments and really connect with the team, ask them about their weekend, their family, things like that, they're going to be much more likely to want to work for you and be, you know, they actually help you manage them because they're way more upfront and committed to the entire process.
I think what you just said is so important, and it makes so much sense when you were talking about communication also being a two-way street, right? Because you don't want to get caught up in the role of you're just delegating and it's one-sided communication. Because how you just said that some employees like to be instructed in a different way. One person might like email. How you just said to another employee, hey, it's okay to shout out to the hall team. That's important because everybody's style is different.
Right. Yeah, definitely. You know, and I learned that the hard way because, you know, sometimes you feel like, gosh, why isn't this job getting done? And what I realized was that they just didn't really understand what I was saying. I understood it, but I wasn't speaking to them in a way. It's like that book, Don Ruiz, The Four Love Languages. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the language that they're hearing you in? And you have to speak to that language. So I think that's the art of a good leader and a good manager. You know, but a manager is really helping people to just, you know, they're like a project manager in that, you know, this is what we need done, this is the deadline, this is those kinds of things. And I think a manager can also have good leadership style too, and that's where you're coming from someone that is inspiring them, is building rapport, getting them excited about their role in the company. So both of those skills are important.
Keeping in vain with what you were just saying about employee morale, what are some things that we can do to keep our teams motivated and make sure that they're enjoying the work that they're executing?
Well, the most important thing, and that's for the business owner and the employees, is to stay connected to your why. Because that is the one thing that when all the chips are down, when you're having a rough time or, you know, something fell apart, that will keep you going no matter what. And so it's not only for you, the business owner, but the employees also need to have that bigger why. And it's not just about the money. I mean, the money is important, but at the end of the day, that's not really what is going to motivate someone. I mean, it might be their why is their children, right? And so the money is something that's going to feed that. But generally, people want to feel connected to that bigger vision and what is the deeper meaning that the company represents altogether. And so the more that you can bring that into the culture through meetings, through art that you have on the wall, reminding them, or even videos of clients or customers talking about how your product or service, you know, had a positive impact on them, and continually sharing that with your team. And just making your team feel like this is a process, like it's not you being dictator telling them what to do. when you include them in the process, you know, how can we create this together? What are some suggestions that you recommend that is going to move this needle forward? It makes people feel like their opinion matters. Doesn't mean that you take it every single time, but, you know, they feel like that they're appreciated and, you know, they get to help be a part of the growth of the whole company. And that's a lot more exciting than just being an order taker.
Yeah. With the number of entrepreneurs that you've been working with in your experience in hiring, are there some common hiring mistakes that you tend to see across all industries?
Yes, definitely. There are many. We have a saying called hire slowly, fire fast. And that sounds a little brutal, but it actually is something that protects the employee as well, because, you know, if you have someone on your team that's not the right fit, it's not good for them either. It's better that they work for a company that is a better fit for them. And so I was reminded of that recently, because I had to let somebody go, or I made the decision to let someone go that wasn't a great fit. Great person, just wasn't a fit for the role. And then she actually went on to get the perfect job for her and ended up moving into another town and was able to move in with her boyfriend. So, you know, and it's, we always, like, it's the one thing that so many business owners just really despise, and that's having to fire somebody. But really you're holding them back from finding a better fit. So that's the fire fast part. The hire slowly part is where a lot of business owners mess up, because you're desperate, you need someone, you don't take the time to really do the vetting process, and I can share some tips on that as well. But if you just take a little extra time and really make sure, you know, it's not always 100% sure, but you really do your due diligence, you're going to have a much better fit employee, which is going to make all the difference for potentially years to come.
For a couple of tips in terms of vetting the proper person to add to your team, would that be one of them? Making sure that you do your due diligence in terms of looking into their background and that sort of thing?
Yes, I call it the rule of three. So you would interview at least three people. So you may get 20 resumes, but you narrow it down to, let's say, five, and then you talk to them on the phone, and then narrow it. After you talk to them on the phone, you get a sense that you can tell pretty quickly if it's worth to bring them in for an interview. So you would interview them, at least three people, and you interview them at least three times, and you also, if possible, interview them in three different places. Which sounds like odd. Why would you do that? But people show up differently in different settings. Do they show up on time? Do they open the door for someone? You know, how do they come dressed professionally? Things like that. So, and then also interview by three different people. So if you don't have three different people, bring your sibling or your spouse or somebody to help, or a client that knows you. Because you're so close to it. And, you know, it's like we want to get that person. We're in a hurry. Business is backing up. And you don't always make the best choices. So it's good to, if you follow that rule of three, and then plus, checking at least three references, you're much more likely to get a great fit for your team.
That is awesome. I would love to just pop back to something that you said earlier in the talk. When you were talking about adding to the team, you know, in-house versus using a contractor or a vendor or, you know, hiring virtually. Do you have a preference? Are there pros and cons? Or do you have, you know, a rule that you kind of use to measure how you want to fill a position?
You know, when you're spending more money on something that it would cost to bring them in-house. You know, so for instance, when I was doing enough graphic design that it made sense that I was spending probably more than I would pay for a full-time employee, it was time to bring them in-house.
Oh, I see.
So that's one thing. The other is, for me, I personally like to have them in-house because I want to be able to sit down, look at what they're doing, jump and look on their computer, have a spontaneous meeting, things like that. Not to say that I don't have some people virtually. I do. But
right.
My main key people that, you know, I'm relying on all the time, they are in-house. And it just, you know, we're much more united as a team. If you need to get virtual people, at least see if they can attend your meetings virtually so that they are still an integral part of your company.
Okay. And then I know we're going to be wrapping up. Just want to ask you if you could give one or two tips to a fellow woman entrepreneur who is now looking to kind of scale her team, what would they be?
I'm thinking because, you know, there are many of our clients, that's what we do. We help them to scale. And scaling is all about replicating yourself. So it's replicating you, the work you do, the time you spend, and so forth. And I would say, first of all, think big and take those big leaps. I have a saying, make decisions from where you're going, not from where you're at. And so if you're thinking, I want a business that's bringing in, you know, $1 million, why not 10? If you're thinking,
right.
I want 10, why not 50? Everybody has a preference on the size of company that they want. But I think, especially for women, we tend to think smaller. And
so true.
And women are amazing business owners. They're powerhouses, because I know, because I coach many of them. And when you start thinking bigger like that, where there is no ceiling, it's incredible what you can do. I mean, I had one woman who I've been working with for a couple of years now, and when, you know, they'd been in business for some time, but they really weren't doing that well financially.
Right.
Had a construction company, and within 2 years, they're doing $5 million. So
wow.
I think, you know, first of all, just see that it's possible and set a bigger sights for yourself. And get the support. Don't do it yourself. I've always had a coach. I've had a coach since day one. I have a coach now, and I invest quite a bit in that coaching because, you know, you're so close to what you do.
Right.
And, you know, you're talking about building a team. Oh, we can so get on our own way of that. And, you know, keep people on or hire people that are not the right fit in the first place. Just so many ways that having that kind of support will save you so much money and so much of a headache.
Right. Well, first, I just have to thank you. You've given us so much invaluable information, so much to actually take home, process. Before I let you go, I have to ask you a couple things. One, could you tell us a little bit about the award-winning documentary Inspired by 11 that you're in? I'm nosy. I saw that when I was just doing some research on you, and I'd love to just let our Lioness members know a little bit more about that docu.
Sure, definitely. I was approached a few years ago by director Tamara Thompson and Danielle Gomez, and they had been following me for a while. I had not met them. And it's interesting because you'll get different requests. And, you know, with my schedule, there's things that I just can't do. But there was something about her request that really struck me. And she said, you know, we really want you to be part of this documentary that is following the lives of 11 inspiring entrepreneurs. And so, they came down. We've, you know, did several interviews, they came to my events and things like that, and they did such a great job in this documentary. And it aired last year, or it came out last January, and you know, at the movie, at the theater and everything. So, you know, you can see right on the homepage of my website is a kind of a trailer for it.
And, oh, great.
And but if you just look up Inspired by 11, you'll be able to see that too, because they, you know, the other entrepreneurs that are in there as well are wonderful.
Oh, I will definitely make sure to share the trailer with our readers. We always try to share your wisdom over at lionessmagazine.com whenever we can. Tell us a little bit about what you have coming up for yourself in 2017.
Well, we, you know, our main thing is our Pinnacle Global Network. That is our mm-hmm. mastermind and private coaching program for business owners, and we love working with business owners at all different levels to help you grow mm-hmm. your business. So, and then we have our next event coming up will be in August, and it's called the CEO Success Network Retreat.
Oh.
And that is for businesses who are ready to scale. It's all about scaling. So it's not necessarily the startup. You
yep.
know, you've been in business for a little bit and you're ready to expand that team. And that is August 11th through the 13th. So, but all of that information is, you know, at my website, which is AllisonMaslin.com.
Awesome. Ladies, AllisonMaslin.com. I will put the link in the Facebook group today. That is the CEO Success Network Retreat, August 11th through 13th. Allison, again, thank you so, so much for joining us here today and sharing your wisdom.
Well, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun, and I look forward to hopefully doing it again soon.
Absolutely. We thank you so much. Ladies, you know, for the latest news on female entrepreneurs, you can always hop over to lionessmagazine.com. And until the next time, unleash the lioness within and rock the day.